Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you. Please do sit down. Just going to sit here. So in Colossians chapter 1, it talks about God. Well, God's what, who? God is spirit. God is not something that you can simply see like a physical object or touch or grab, which is hard for us because God seems, he is invisible. But that's why it doesn't make sense when, like ancient peoples, they would carve an image. Maybe it would be a bull or some other image, and then they would bow down and worship that image. Of course, that made no sense because it's just something they carved. It's not God at all. It's a false god. It makes no sense to bow down, but that's what people did in ancient times. Well, you might be thinking quite smugly, well, I don't do that. But of course, we promote so many other things, things that we can see or things that we can't see, to be in the place of God. Our career aspirations, our mobile phones we allow to control our lives, other things, the way we collect stuff or amass just goods and things, or the things that we want to do, we allow all these things to take over and become false gods, no better than carving an image of a bull and bring down to that, because none of these are God's. And yet God's desire is to reveal. God says, let us create humankind in our image. That's interesting. Let us, that's Father, Son, and Spirit speaking together. And through that, through the Son, all things are created. Through the Son and by him, all things are made and are made for him. But we don't do a very good job of revealing God. We are made in his image, and yet because we promote so much and so many other things to be false gods, that creates distortion, it creates distance, and God seems far away. This was the case for hundreds, thousands of years, until the point where the Son, with Father, Son, and Spirit, entered his own creation, born as a baby, growing through childhood into adulthood. The man, the son, Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. He enables us to see God, and this time without any distortion, without the imperfections, without the distance up close. If you remember just one thing from this morning, remember this one point, that in Jesus we get to see God. So if you are hoping to help a friend or help a colleague at work or help someone you know or help the lads and the lasses at Ely College to see God, start to describe Jesus. For he is the image of the invisible God. And so through him, all things were created. All things. Let's just get our heads around that a moment, because it's kind of mind-blowing. All things, things that we see, things that we can't see, they are all created by him and for him. Now, things that we can see, well, that's obvious. I can see this chair, I can see this building, I can see you people. but things that we can't see as well. Maybe because they are so far away in deep space and I don't have a telescope good enough to see them. Or maybe because they are so small, subatomic particles, the muons, the quarks, and all that stuff, we can't see it. But it is all created by him and for him. And even the stuff that we can't see, not because it's far away or because it's so small, but because it is not physical, it is spiritual, is created by him and for him. And it doesn't matter whether it is the spiritual forces or powers that are aligned and with God or somehow malignant and against God, they were all created by him and for him and will be called to fall into line. Everything. Now, we know that physicists want to come up with a super equation that describes everything, electromagnetic force, gravity, subatomic particles, the whole works. That's fine. That's their job. That is science. Science is there to observe, to look and make sense of and try and work out how it all works. That is what scientists do. And so they will launch incredibly wonderful telescopes into space to observe deep space to try and find evidence for their Big Bang theory of how everything created. Again, that's what scientists are supposed to do. That is their job, to try and come up with a theory and then do tests and experiments and observations to see if their theory stands up. That is their job. But 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote to the Colossians about another Big Bang, the sun entering his own creation, the sun through whom all things were made and hold together. So there's your super equation. There's your unifying principle in which everything holds together in Jesus. Now, some people get that. Some people understand that. Some people realize that, yes, it is in Jesus that all things hold together. Therefore, I want my life to be in his and believing in him and following him, as Alexis shared for her own personal story. I want to be in Jesus myself, and those people form together a body of people. They form a new faith community. They form a group, a body. We have a word for it. It is called church. The group of people who put their lives in Christ because by him they were created in the first place, and in him they all hold together. So Jesus, the Son, is the head of this body. Without him, the body wouldn't even have a chance of existing. It would never have been created in the first place. But that means that the church isn't this gathering here on a Sunday. It isn't this nice building. It isn't this nice service on a Sunday morning. It is a body of people who put Jesus as absolute number one and try and work out their whole lives of how that fits with him as supreme and the head and number one. The one who has been through it all, the one who has come into humanity, the one who has even been through humanity to death. But Paul writes, but then he is the firstborn among the dead, firstborn into new resurrection life. He goes ahead of us and shows us the way, and shows us that we can now anticipate that same resurrection life. We can start living that same resurrection life, pulling it into today. Jesus, the supreme head. But that means asking ourselves, in what areas of our life do we hold back? In what areas of our life do we actually try and live as if Jesus wasn't supreme? And so that's why we have the key question and challenge for this week, which Ollie will put on the screen. What does it mean for you to totally surrender to Jesus as Lord and God? And the challenge is to do an audit, a kind of self-life MOT, examining all departments of your life and think, which areas do you still hold back? It could be our attitude to our income or our bank account, our finance. It could be our sexuality, or more important, what we do with our sexuality. As I was talking with some lads and lasses at Ely College this Thursday, and it might be our aspirations, it might be how we see other people, it might be how we treat other people, whether it's other people who are different to us, a different race, or maybe they're female and we're male, or it might be people who are senior at work or lesser at work. Any number of things. I could write you a very, very, very long list of things you might need to think about. Do your own self-examination. In what areas do you hold back? What does it mean for us to truly put Jesus as our Lord and God in the 21st century today? To be truly his body with Jesus as the head. You see, Jesus didn't just come as a messenger. He didn't just come as a representative of God. He didn't just come as a nice guy. He didn't just come as someone who tells some good stories or has some good morals or to give a good example. No, in him, all the fullness of God's lives in bodily form. The whole kit and caboodle God in this man, living, walking and breathing and sharing and going to the cross. Just get your heads around that. All the fullness of God is in this man. That's why I think this passage is a cosmic passage. You know, there are no boundaries that we can conceive that contain what this passage is talking about. But because all the fullness of God has come into this man, Jesus, and lived and walked this earth and gone to death on a cross, it opens the way for the mess of humanity, the mess of people's lives, all that distance between people and God and the distortion and the mess of our lives to be resolved, to be reconciled, to be brought back into line with Jesus as the head. Reconciled, brought back into line in harmony with God and harmony with each other. And that possibility extends to everyone. It extends to us. It extends to people in Ely. It extends to warring factions in Northern Ireland, as we were hearing from Alexis, from the crazy distortion of Catholic-Protestant divide. Reconciliation there is possible in Jesus. But it also means that reconciliation is possible in every people conflict situation around the world, any situation. And it doesn't matter what people have as their deeply held beliefs, what faith system they have. It doesn't matter if they are, let's say that they are in the most extreme form of Islam and they have this deeply held conviction that violent jihad is the way forward for them. Reconciliation for them is still possible in Jesus Christ, in the one in whom all the fullness of God lives in bodily form and is the image of the invisible God. It is possible. So for us, are we going to align ourselves with him as sovereign, as our head, affecting every part of our lives, every part of the way we think and our culture and the way we be and do? All for him. And be part of his reconciliation project. I'm going to invite the musicians to come and...